Good evening, everyone. It's Fetch and Farrell coming to you for the long-awaited season premiere podcast. Tonight, we are doing it just Farrell and just Fetch. Justin McCord is having a night off with the kids after the big Thursday night game between the Patriots and the Chicago Bears, which we'll dive into tonight as soon as we welcome in the trophy husband, Robbie Fetcher. How are you, buddy?
There you go. You had a little faux pas to start out. It was not the Patriots, even though Tom Brady was
playing. Did I say Patriots?
You did.
I'm off my game. I got a lot of activity going on in the other room. I got phone calls coming in. But, you know, most importantly, Fetch, we've got to sit down and have our podcast, our first one since the main event. Now, full disclosure to everyone, Fetch and I did a wonderful podcast about a week ago. Fetch, you were brilliant in that podcast. We covered a lot of great, great information. You made some wonderful predictions about this past week's weekend's activity, and it's out there in the clouds somewhere. It's bouncing around. Nobody can find it.
Will anybody believe I predicted a breakout from Joe Mixon? Because I did, but we have no evidence of that.
Yeah, we did, and yeah, you have my word that Fetch was right online. And we were online about some less high volume players as well, because, you know, we're sitting here with a lot of issues and you have to go deep into your lineups, deep on the waiver wire to get things going. So let's get things going tonight. Week five is off with a very, very exciting game. Let's talk about the Thursday night game, Fetch, because you and I have been close with this podcast ever since Thursday night games were announced seasons ago. And I see a shift. I see a shift in the games, the competitiveness of the games, and more importantly, the attitude of the players. To me, this has really become a primetime game. I think the NFL Network does a great job of presenting it through the day with their Good Morning Football, and that's growing in viewership, and people that are real football junkies are tuned into that. I think we're seeing some good football, and tonight our good football was spoiled by the guys in the stripes. They threw a lot of flags around, but all in all, I thought it was a great game and a big, big win for the Chicago Bears. Noel Harris is dancing somewhere tonight.
It was a very competitive game, very compelling, but the stripes had their issues. You would think they have their four preseason games in and should be ready to roll, but they missed a few tonight. Definitely that late roughing the passer call. And really, early in the game, they missed a false start that really got the Bears rolling. If they would not have missed that call, I think Tampa may have rolled tonight. But, you know, momentum's a fickle thing, and the Bears took advantage of late first half miscues and really got going there.
From a fantasy perspective, we were introduced to a very new player very early in the game, a player that I really had high hopes for. And when he was drafted by Tampa, I knew he would just be covered on the depth chart. We'd never see a lot from him. That's a wide receiver, Johnson, out of Minnesota. I really, really liked that player, and you can see why. And he was featured early in the game, and then he went away.
Yeah, they had a lot of different weapons out there, injuries to Godwin, Evans banged up, new tight ends with O.J. Howard being up. But as always, with Tom Brady there, you can make a lot of guys look good. And he's a young guy who, with time, with reps, has a chance to make a splash in this league. One thing I wanted to bring
up. You know, the kid Scotty Miller basically on the field for a good percentage of snaps tonight, absolutely invisible in this passing game. To me, the ball was often fed to the young players very early on. The tight end Hudson, his first contributing play for the year, and I think he struggled to catch the ball very early on. I don't know if I would start a game plan on the road against the Chicago Bears defense and not key on my best players. I might want to get the ball in the hands of my best players. Certainly rising to the occasion tonight was the Bucks running back, Ronald Jones. He can do everything but catch the ball, Fetch.
Well, and he actually caught the ball, but the officials missed it. And if they don't call that, he gets an early touchdown, which would have made him a great fantasy play this week. Still a good fantasy play, but we're talking about the officials not seeing that. Maybe they think he can't catch the ball either, so they were assuming he didn't. I wonder.
Well, you know, I thought in that situation, my understanding was that all scoring plays are reviewed, correct?
Right.
Oh, but wait a minute. It was explained to us that they blew the whistle.
That's right.
Exactly. That's right. That's the caveat there. They blew the whistle. All in all, that game could not be marred by the officials. So we saw some wonderful performances. You understand why wide receiver Robinson for Chicago is such a sought-after player. Allen Robinson was fantastic tonight, and he was making difficult catches in a lot of traffic. Cordarrelle Patterson could not be defensed out of the Bear backfield, and those were no fantasy points. Jimmy Graham with a one-handed catch in the end zone. People are writing off Jimmy Graham. He looks pretty good. Foles knows how to rely on some of those veterans, doesn't he?
Foles really gives his guys a chance. That's the thing he does. He gets the ball and hopes his guys can make plays. Occasionally it leads to a turnover like it did early in the game when he went to Robinson. But he gives you a chance to win the game. And especially tonight where we talked about this earlier in the day, Tampa Bay shuts down the run. If you're playing a running back against the Tampa Bay Bucs, make sure you know they're going to catch some passes, because if they don't, Bucks aren't giving up over 30, 40 yards rushing to any running back. Luckily, Montgomery found the end zone, caught five or six balls, so his, you know, night was captured by that. But in the running game, if you're going against this fierce Tampa defense, you can consider setting a middle-of-the-road running back.
Oh, yes, certainly. Now, Montgomery is going to shine as he plays different defenses over the year. It's still 18 fantasy points, and you know the announcer said it, Troy Aikman said it, you've got to turn your short passing game and substitute that as your running game. Montgomery did that very, very well, and he was essentially the only back for the Bears. I hesitate to call a back. He's more of a hybrid player, just moving all over the field. I guess he's lining up as a running back to get the ball in his hands. But really, Montgomery has become a full-service three-down back. And if you're a fantasy owner of this player, you got to be very happy.
Going forward, I definitely think so, especially since by the time we were drafting at Caesars Southern Indiana, because of injury concerns, he was falling into the sixth round. So you're getting him as your, you know, at least RB2, if not RB3 flex play. And if he can put 18 points against that kind of run defense, you're going to have a lot of good weeks going forward.
Congratulations to all the Bears fans tonight. You got a big, big victory when you were a substantial underdog on your home field. And, you know, speaking of home field, Fetch, this was the first night that I really missed the fans. Because can you imagine the way that Soldier Field would have been rocking tonight?
I missed it more in the Superdome with the Saints. That's a team that you've seen. Then they've been in some big games with Green Bay, wasn't it, a couple weeks ago, that you could really tell that Aaron Rodgers took advantage of not having fans. So, yeah, there's special venues, and Soldier Field is definitely one of them. I usually think of Soldier Field in December when the fans are going crazy and it's freezing cold. And
oh, my goodness. Yeah, I spent the day after Christmas, I traveled to a Viking and Bears game, and we talked about it before, but I'll never forget. I told the girl selling hot chocolate that it was going overtime. She said, "Don't you dare." I said, "Yeah, it's going overtime." It went overtime. She blamed it on me. But she also gave me free hot chocolate, which became lukewarm chocolate because it was about 5 degrees. I tell you who isn't lukewarm. He's hot as a pistol, Mr. Craig Campbell. Craig Campbell leads the KFFSC. He is our fourth week leader. He's our fourth leader in 4 weeks. We had a different champ or a different leader each week. Craig is a longtime player. Congratulations to him. Out of the jump cut division, this team is. It's averaging 185 points a week, Fetch. 185 points a week so far. And he's had Davante Adams on the shelf.
That's a great point total. But I think we're going to see a lot of changes through our leaderboard as this up and down season, whether it be injuries because guys didn't have their preseason or just games not being played different ways. I think we're just going to see an up and down changing of the guards, seeing a lot of 200 point games, which is always exciting, but then guys coming back to earth with 130, 120 point games to kind of average that out.
Hey, you know, a shout out to Sadat Harris. He has been a stalwart. He and Gordon Berg have remained in the top 10 for the since week one. I think Sadat dropping in there at 10. Fetch, news, football news out of Houston, and what do you think it changes for our fantasy landscape for the Houston Texans players who are widely owned throughout the KFFSC? As we say goodbye to Bill O'Brien, I think, you know, Sadat Harris, the aforementioned Sadat Harris, would say, of course you're going to fire a coach that is involved in drafting a quarterback with such a despicable spin rate,
yes.
on the ball, the spin rate. Oh, so will he ever live that down? He's going to have to win the championship to live the spin rate.
Let's
down.
Just be glad Sadat is not coaching the Houston Texans. But I think this may open some things up for this offense, and they can relax and just play, along with the fact that they've just played a brutal schedule to start off the season. Oh, yeah. I think they need to get Duke Johnson more in the mix. They need to get David Johnson more consistent carries and use their weapons like Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb's new to this offense, didn't get as much preseason play because we didn't have it. I think Randall can go forward and have some games, and they're going to start winning some games. And Romeo Crennel's been around the block, so you have experience there. It's not going to be much different. They're professionals. Hopefully they just can win a little more on Sunday.
I think they get a little bit of an exhale and a little bit of they approach this fifth game of the season in a loose state, where they can kind of enjoy being on the field again. I've often thought that the Houston players and the Houston team, sure, they enjoy winning, but you know, the pursuit of it has been pretty difficult.
I saw a tweet out there talking about what Bill O'Brien today would say to Bill O'Brien, who was up a couple touchdowns in the AFC divisional round. And if you would have whispered in his ear, you're never winning another NFL football game as the Houston Texans coach. You know, just falling, just such a. You know, that they were at that point ahead of Kansas City, you know, thinking we win this game, maybe we can keep going. And now he never wins another game and is out of a job. This is a crazy business. The NFL is so highly competitive. We like to think in fantasy football it is, and it is crazy in the KFFSC with how many great players. But the NFL is the epitome of competition.
You know, my dad would have a great line, my favorite line my dad always had. And he would say this about Bill O'Brien in his trade of DeAndre Hopkins. He would say, that man can't stand prosperity. And that's exactly – and you know, he was prosperous and he tore it all down. Don't tear it down, Fetch. Don't tear it down by freaking out about the COVID activities rampant in the NFL. Bring us up to date, Fetch, about what's going on with our Tennessee Titans and the havoc they have created with the NFL schedule, and what is now being suggested as a Titans-Bills Week 5 matchup.
Yeah, it looks like we have two games that have been moved back. We have the Denver-New England game, which we get another exciting doubleheader on Monday night. I know that was awesome this
Love
past
that.
Week. And it looks like the Titans-Bills are going to be moved back to Tuesday, which will also – force the NFL, because the Bills were supposed to be playing on Thursday, move that game back to Saturday or Sunday of week 6. as a fantasy player, I think the biggest thing this has changed my philosophy on is Thursday night. A lot of times on Thursday night, if I had a marginal player and I was worried about injuries to some of my other players, I just wait and see what happens. Maybe pick somebody up late Friday night if I'm really worried about that injury. Don't push that Thursday night guy in. And tonight I put Tom Brady in a lineup where I had another quarterback. David Montgomery was definitely in anyway, but if I had a question against that Tampa Bay defense, I went ahead and played him, even though I had a Devin Singletary on my bench, because Devin Singletary, a Bill, not sure what's going to happen later the week. So I think it forces us to really focus on Thursday night. And if you have a viable option, I'm probably putting him in the lineup in 2020. I'll revisit it in 2021. Mm-hmm. But right now, if we can get points in there, I think you should do it.
First up, first in. That's the Fetch philosophy. That's why he's the trophy husband. Okay, let's do a little housekeeping. You brought up some things there, Fetch. First of all, a Tuesday game, Buffalo Bills and Tennessee Titans. The question which people may ask, will a Tuesday game count in week 5? Of course it'll count in week 5. We are set up for that. If you believe that you're Tennessee Titans are going to play, your Buffalo Bills players are going to play, and God, I hope they do. I'm rostered with players throughout, as everyone is. Those will count in week 5, and you'll know more about it as you go through the weekend to make your roster selections. If they do not play, once again, the Tennessee defense and the Buffalo defense, which I know is widely owned and widely depended on, if that game is not played, that game will be in a bye week situation. And depending on when it is announced that they will not play, will depend on whether or not you will receive a 15-point penalty for leaving that defense on your team. So what Fetch just are in your lineup. And so what Fetch just said right there, if you've got an active team, you might want to go ahead and play them. So that was one of the things that happened last weekend. We had 20-plus teams come in with a defense on bye, and they took a 15-point penalty for that. There were some ancillary teams that came in, but across the main event, 20-plus teams, which is not a great deal out of 576 teams. However, I hated that we had to do it with anyone. Now, someone had asked me, what if New England, I got it right, New England and Cam Newton, when Cam Newton is there, correct, and the Kansas City Chiefs, what if New England and Kansas City had not have played? And in our structure of free agency, our final free agency had run, and so you would have known about the game, but it would have been too late to acquire another defense off waivers. So that would not have accounted. If you had one defense and New England, it was either New England or Kansas City, and they didn't play, you would have not have been docked 15 points. So what we're going to do about that, that takes me into my next
Can I throw a question out there? So what you're saying, I think, to let people know, if a game is canceled Tuesday morning, Monday morning, they're not responsible. It's when the NFL does their job like they did with Tennessee and Pittsburgh and canceled it on Thursday or Friday, and you have the opportunity to pick up a defense. That's what you're saying, correct?
And that's exactly right. And to give people more opportunity and to create a situation to give the NFL more for us to be patient with the NFL as they seek answers to these situations, we are pushing back our waivers. Our waiver wire period, our second waiver wire period, you'll be the first one to know, Fetch, and then the people that listen here will be the group to know, and then we will send out a mailer tomorrow. But probably the clever people that have already looked at waiver wire will see that now our waiver wires will be extended until Saturday night at midnight. It's actually a few minutes after midnight. Saturday night at midnight is when you need to get your waiver wire second bid period completed by. And that will, then you will be able to make all the necessary choices you need to make based on the schedules. Now, we're going to see some interesting things in that some teams, you know, it'll be like a Thursday night situation. And you see you have some Saturday night games. So actually some games will actually happen before our waiver, before our second waiver wire period, just like a Thursday night game. But we will be stretching waivers out. That was a move that I wanted to do earlier in the year. We did not do it because the FFPC did not have a later waiver wire. They have moved theirs, and so consequently, we're going to move ours. Question?
No, it makes a lot of sense. More information people can get. And just like the NFL, the world of fantasy, we're having to kind of fly by the seat of our pants because we're seeing situations we've never seen before. You know, we're waiting on tests to find out if this person has to quarantine and everything else. And so I hope everybody's willing to be flexible this year. I know I'm trying to be the best as I can as I not only play fantasy, make some NFL bets here and there. You just never know what's going to happen tomorrow. It's the phrase is it's 2020. Who knows?
Fetch, you're as flexible. You could probably represent the United States in pole vaulting. You're so flexible. What are you talking about? You're an Olympian athlete of flexibility. Let's take a pause and say hello to Jimmy Johnson and Kevin Williamson, two of our favorite listeners that'll be happy to know that the bar is open.
I opened a Heineken tonight. I'm a little Heine tonight.
You're drinking that German beer, and I'm drinking nothing but Kentucky bourbon. I poured over some ice here. You know who you'll have to compare beers with is your favorite frenemy, Jim Cole. Jim Cole's a noted beer master.
Jim Cole is, well, he's much more intelligent about beer than I am. So I want to, yeah. We'll fight over the fantasy football knowledge, but I'll give him the beer knowledge. I'll just throw it his way. Yeah.
You know who's another great beer guy is Trevor Holt. Trevor, about a beer that you need to know. He'll come up with off-brand. I just think those are great hobbies to know about all the beers. Now, it's the same thing with the bourbons. There's just so many bourbons. It's almost like you're talking about wide receivers on the Tampa roster. They just keep throwing them at you.
So
you said something very early in drafting in fantasy football this year. You said, you know, I'm just not going to go early wide receiver. I'm going to go early running backs because you can always find a wide receiver, but you can never find a running back. How true is that, Fetch? Well, you went through waiver wires this past week, and the craziest thing you saw on waiver wire is D'Ernest Johnson. I think that's his name. D'Ernest Johnson, Cleveland Browns, third string running back, now second string running back for a while. And I really like the player. He's an Alliance of American Football player, XFL player, I believe. He came into the league and he did really, really well. He's going for $300 fetch in some of these leagues. Isn't that crazy?
Not crazy with a team that can run the ball the way the Browns can. Their coach coming from Minnesota and saw what Dalvin Cook did last year where he was the OC, saw the benefits of the running game and having more than one running back. Nick Chubb being out for a while. Even our boy Kareem Hunt's a little banged up, so there's going to be opportunities there. And like you said about the wide receivers, I mean, we're watching Monday Night Football. And there's no Julio Jones in the second half. Calvin Ridley was there, but was a ghost. Devontae Adams hurt. And Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan are throwing to these guys that are just, you know, fourth, fifth string guys and still putting up the numbers. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers, what he's doing this year is he's always been a great player, but to do it with what he's had to do this year, I think it's 13 touchdowns, no interceptions. He's balling. He's balling. Everybody said, oh, Pat and Lamar. And Rodgers said, wait a little bit. You know, I can still play this game too.
And you couldn't, you could wait as long as you wanted to get you a little Aaron Rodgers in a draft. And I thought that was a mistake. And no. For thinking it's a mistake and acting on it are two different things. I don't have him anywhere. how fascinating it would be to have him at the, as your quarterback.
I have him a couple places, but one place I have him in is Lamar with Lamar Jackson, and that's a tough set. It's tough to say, oh, I'm going to set Lamar this week because we know he could go for 40 any week.
Mm-hmm. Lamar's hurting this week, as everyone is. There's so much injury, and you know, I tell everyone, and you've heard me say it ad nauseum, I am the biggest believer in next man up football. You know, because I believe in the talent of the players. My favorite rookie running back, Joshua Kelly, gets his goal. He's the next man up. I await. You know, I looked in Pittsburgh this week. There's talk that Juju Smith-Schuster's a little banged up. I look for my favorite wide receiver is Claypool. I look for him to get in the games. You know, it sure is an exciting year. And we'll say once again how thrilled we are to be playing fantasy football when back in June and July, some people still had doubt in their minds. I know you never doubted it, Fetch. The conversation with FPI this week, the boys said, hey, you know, we expected it was going to be worse. COVID protocols are working, except in Tennessee. This is being blamed.
We don't talk about the Titans.
You know, the Titans are my favorite whipping boy and have been for years. Now, the organization is being called out for doing everything wrong, including, and this affects my business as a player agent, including bringing in a player and working him out that did not clear protocol, who apparently was shedding the virus in an asymptomatic way and infected players. That's the word that is being bounced around the league. So I will share with you this information that I received from the NFL. The testing procedures for a player that you want to bring in for a workout, he has to arrive Monday, and he has to test four times while quarantined in a hotel room. He has to pass four tests. So he comes in Monday, takes four tests, and then can work out for the team on Friday.
So basically, they're bringing the guy in on Monday for the next week, not that week.
Oh yeah, it's not even beginning to think about that week, and so when you're calling up, you know all agents are in this situation, and my agency is too. You have some veteran players that everyone is familiar with. You have some good college players, especially this year. Everybody does that can contribute. But you got to do a sales job on it. And someone has to say, you know, we liked him. We'll bring him in and take a look at him. It's a big, big step for a team to bring a player in and take a look at him. So I'm going to tell everyone that's playing fantasy football, not only look at your depth charts on the roster, look at the practice squad. Because those guys are eventually, especially if injuries keep up at even half this rate, you're going to see practice squad players coming in and making big contributions that you may need to get familiar with, that could be fantasy pickups. So it's just another great, great aspect to fantasy football. What do you think the penalties should be for the Tennessee Titans for their lack of protocol?
Well, I have the question for you. Is it? I heard a statement today that if they cancel games, neither team will get a paycheck. So I think they have to be pretty stiff, not only to keep this from happening in the future, but you're hurting the other team who had nothing to do with this, who had no choice on whether to follow. Obviously, they chose to follow the protocol and have stayed this way, and the Titans did not. So if the Titans are costing the Bills a paycheck, I think there's got to be substantial penalties.
Well, I tell you, I don't know if it'll be draft picks. I don't know if it'll be fines. I think whatever it is, I think the executives coaching in charge should be forced to watch a 24-hour loop of Baker Mayfield Progressive Insurance commercials. I would just put them on a loop and make them watch that.
I think the biggest deterrent
24 hours of fetch.
The just, biggest deterrent.
You know, though. He's covering the seats. He tells that other guy to cover the seats. This is not funny.
I don't
funny.
Want to be in his book
Nothing
club.
About this is humorous. He's in a book club, yes, for God's sakes. You know, I mean, he goes to get groceries and he can't get in, and the girl, you know, won't let him in. And she, none of this is funny. None of this wants me.
But,
you know, who came up with this?
Somebody who has too much time on their hands, obviously, in New York somewhere at an ad agency. But my point is, I think the biggest deterrent is if you cost your team a game, play. I mean, we saw this in baseball where guys who went out and did the wrong thing, their teammates got on them. They demanded this stop. Yep. And hopefully that's what happens in the Titans organization. And this is a really good team that was in the AFC Championship game. And if they get games forfeited or canceled and they don't make the playoffs or have a worse seed because of improper behavior, I mean, how dumb is that? I mean, as a player on that team, I'd be not only on my other players, I'd be on the coaches. We can't do this. Give ourselves the best chance to win.
Yeah, there's talk about forfeiting games, and I don't think that's going to happen, but we will see. Fetch, where are your teams? We got 576 spots in the main event.
I mean,
where are you rated?
I think 120s. My best team that I had, who is 4-0, has had declining returns basically because they have Devontae.
Is that the
Adams.
Name of the team? What is it? Trophy Husbands?
Trophy
declining
husband.
Returns? What
is Trophy Husbands is a team, but
Trophy
I
Husband.
Just had a couple.
Well, who is declining returns? Who is that?
No, that's what my players have given
oh,
me.
Oh, that's what happened. Yeah, okay.
I have Devontae Adams on that team. Some other things haven't had the depth that I
yeah,
should.
Yeah, Craig Campbell's got Devontae Adams on his team, and he's in first place.
You know what? He obviously worked the free agent wire a little better than I did. I actually started Devontae Adams Monday night believing – and Devontae Adams, as he said, he knew his body was ready, but yet the Green Bay medical staff said no.
Green Bay medical staff is a tough staff. Green Bay, Indianapolis, there's a couple other teams that if any player's got any kind of problems, they can't pass physical. They can't get on the field.
And it,
maybe that's what's going on with Devontae.
Sometimes we have to be quasi-doctors in this fantasy football thing as we look at these injuries. Obviously, Julio Jones is a recurring thing, so I would tell people to get one of the other receivers. Zacchaeus, I think I'm sure I'm pronouncing his name.
You're getting there. But, you're getting there. You're halfway home.
But he had a good fill-in role there on Monday night. And a guy to have. That way, if Julio's inactive, you just throw him right in your lineup. Not the exact same numbers, but I definitely think he can give you 10 to 15 points. And when you're looking for a fill-in, sometimes that's the best you can hope for.
Who, Fetch, I'm going to throw this to you. Who are some of the players that were drafted in fantasy, were released because they haven't done anything? Either they've been hurt, they've had other issues. Now you see some things that have happened. You see that they're getting well. You see that they're going to come back. So there's very obvious players. Like Le'Veon Bell would be a definition of this player, and I'd like to talk about him. But I want you to give me some players. Who do you see are players that people were depending on? They may have given up on them. They may still have them buried on their roster. Guys you were depending on that are going to catch fire and contribute as we move through the season.
I think Deebo Samuel is a guy that you haven't been able to play because of IR.
Right.
That's going to start to have a big impact on the season. I think Golden Tate, you may not have depended on him, but I'm thinking he's looking, especially this week. If you have Golden Tate on your team, you need to play this week against the Cowboys because everybody scores on the Cowboys. And was
everyone scores, and, you know, but the Giants for sure. Really? The Giants?
I believe so. I mean, they're the Cowboys defense. And this was the same way 3-4 years ago, historically bad. I mean, they're giving up over 40 points a game. I believe sometimes they win those games because somehow they score 24, 28 points in the fourth quarter. The Cowboys don't believe the game starts till they're down double digits in the fourth quarter, similar to the Bears early in the season. I haven't understood this philosophy that Mike McCarthy has brought to Dallas. getting down and then releasing Dak and all his weapons all, you know, at once, and then somehow having crazy chances. They should have never won the Atlanta game.
It's not good.
And somehow they had a chance to win that Cleveland game. I still don't know.
All right, now you're beating on those Cowboys. Let's get back to the question at hand, because everybody knows what the Cowboys are doing, because everybody in the KFFFC has a television. Now, Bobby Sangerman does not use his to watch games, which I just love. You know, I would never advise anyone not to watch football, because watching football is an absolute joy for me.
We saw a guy.
But Bobby Sangerman, it's all in the stats.
You know. We saw it.
Balling while broke. He's not watching the games. He's just watching the computer.
We saw it tonight. Ronald Jones. I think there's a guy that people were worried. Fournette came in, had a great week too. Ronald Jones is talented. Uh-huh. And he's going to get a lot of touches there in Tampa Bay. So that's a guy that's going to.
Yeah, but that's not the question that I've asked, because Ronald Jones has been out there every game. I'm talking about a guy that's been ghosted. Well, somebody that you haven't seen. Le'Veon Bell is one of those guys. I got to get out of the Jets. I got to get out of the Jets, but I'm going to come with another.
Philip Lindsay.
Philip Lindsay. Beautiful. Now, that's what I'm talking about. What can we count on from Philip moving forward, and when he comes back, how quickly is it going to take for him to get in the mix?
I think he'll go right back to the mix. I think he was a 50-50 split with Melvin Gordon, and probably gets a little more of the passing game. So I think he's a double-digit guy almost every week. And with our thin running backs situation, mm-hmm. I mean, you'll take that. You'll play that.
Yep. Don't you like the, you know, it's weird. So it's a 50-50 split, he and Gordon. But Lindsay can do more with his 50% from a fantasy perspective than Gordon can. Am I right about that?
I believe so. You know, Melvin Gordon got that late touchdown last week that made him look like a fantasy superstar. Mm-hmm. But he's doesn't do enough in the passing game. It's almost like Austin Eckler, Philip Lindsay's playing the Austin Eckler type role. And I think, yes, he's the fantasy running back to own in Denver.
Let's go back to those New York Giants. You called out Golden Tate as a guy, but now here's a guy again. I have to take a drink of it. Oh, that was good. I'll say it again. Hang on. Okay. You haven't really followed the question, because Golden Tate's been available, but my query to you, Fetch, is this: Sterling Shepard, when he returns, he's the player we're talking about here. Sterling Shepard, can he get into this?
And he's been dropped in quite a few divisions. I've noticed. I've slowly started to pick him up, because yes, with Saquon Barkley gone, Daniel Jones is going to have to run this team. And for them to score points, they're going to have to pass the ball down the field. So I believe Sterling Shepard is definitely, once that toe's healed, a guy that can really put up some production and end up being a top 20 wide receiver for you going late in the season.
We'll stay with the Giants. There was big talk about where Devonta Freeman is going to land. And he landed with the Giants, and he did not have the kind of game that anyone expected. But Devonta Freeman looks very, very good. And if he comes into the Giant lineup and gets a lot of the passing game, we're going to have a chasing game here. How many points are we looking at in this Dallas-New York Giant matchup?
For the teams, I mean, obviously you're expecting 60 points, because 60 points get scored almost every Cowboy game. But Devonta Freeman.
I thought Freeman looked healthy, rested, and explosive.
Right, he just played a very, very tough defense and a very conservative game plan for both teams out in L.A. last week. Obviously, we won't see that this week in Dallas.
You know, let's see. We can't get out of New York. Is everybody in New York injured? Let's go to the other side of Jersey.
Maybe that's what we really should be talking about.
No, we want to talk about players, because we do not roster coaches in the KFFSC. Although, you know, there's some players that are closer to being coaches. But anyway, I digress. Rashard Perriman. Your thoughts?
I have none for him. I did have him on one team. He's gone. Crowder's so much of that offense. We saw the emergence of Jeff Smith, who looks like he could be a player. Mm-hmm. Why have the older guy mm-hmm. around? They're building something new. I don't know if it's good, but they're trying to build with young. Flacco's back in the I guess I'm saying young, and Flacco's going to be quarterbacking this week. But they got to find out about Berrios, Smith, Crowder. Perryman, to me, was a flyer for them, and I think they realized it wasn't worth it now.
Got you. Okay, very interesting. Let's go out to the Raiders, where we see that Ruggs is in full practice this week. Now, Nelson Aguilar has shined a little bit for the Raiders. Zay Jones is, you know, I've always believed in that player's talents. He's contributed. But Henry Ruggs is a special receiver. How quickly does Ruggs get back in this offense and make some differences for Carr?
He'll make differences for Carr because he's going to make one or two big plays. But as a fantasy mm-hmm. player this year, I would not go back to Ruggs. And the reason, you just said it, there are just so many mouths to feed. And they rotate these receivers mm-hmm. in and out. And obviously, they got to get the ball to Jacobs, what, 28 times a game? Is that what mm-hmm. we said the average was last week?
Well, I think so, yeah. Like
crazy. And Waller's a target monster. I don't think there's enough receptions out there for any of the wide receivers to be worth playing on a week-to-week basis in Las Vegas.
I look at the team, and I think that over time, the top performers are going to get the top opportunities. So I'm saying that if you have Ruggs on your roster, keep him on your roster because I think you're going to begin to want to play him soon. So I'm going to differ with you a little bit on that, Fetch, especially with the division that they're playing in. Now let's go back to Denver. Denver, you know, all year long, in drafts, I kept bemoaning the fact that I never could get Courtland Sutton. Good Lord was taking care of me. I never got Courtland Sutton except one time. Now, Judy is a terrific wide receiver. Everybody knows it. Even with the level of quarterback play that they've got right now, he has shined. But the explosive receiver that has come out of nowhere is a player that I tried to pick up in the waiver wire in the FFPC this week, and that's a wide receiver, Patrick. Am I making too big a case for this player?
No, you're not. I'm very much impressed. I was surprised. I got him numerous places, and I thought I would not bid enough because I wouldn't have enough money or didn't want to go too heavy on. But he's a guy mm-hmm. that's going to mm-hmm. be there. You know, Sutton's done for the year. Noah Fant's banged up. They're going to be behind with Von Miller and other people out in a offensive division with Kansas City and Las Vegas, where you're going to have to put up points. I'm surprised that more people didn't put more money on him. And now I have the guy I was thinking about for your last question. I know I'm throwing back Damian Harris, a guy coming off IR, put up 100 yards in his first game back. Can I throw Damian Harris? Is that the kind of guy you were looking for?
Yeah, but I think everybody knows that, and I think everybody questions that mix. You know, no one trusts that.
Once Cam comes back, we've talked about this a couple times. Yeah. We saw the decline in Mark Ingram this year. It is scary to have a RB1 or 2 on a team where the quarterback likes to run around the goal line. I don't think we even can – you love Josh Allen that he runs the ball. I never realized they would run him this much in the goal line, and it's keeping those running backs out of the end zone because these quarterbacks, such great athletes, are willing to keep the ball and not afraid to put their head down a la Cam Newton and get in the end zone.
You know, you had to love Brady, despite all the things we talked about this game in their own territory. Brady with his patented quarterback sneak tonight. You know, you had to love that ballsy move. All right, now I love this division. AFC West has always been one of my favorite divisions, and every week it gets a little more favorite. Now the LA Chargers have the rookie Kelly at running back, and they have a new quarterback in Herbert. He's the new quarterback. And I am excited. I want to know what it does for all the receivers on this team. I want to know what it does for the tight end, Hunter Henry. But most, staying with our theme, I want to talk to you about a player who I know you love the athleticism of this player, a player that I have drafted and rostered, wide receiver Mike Williams. So any Charger you want to talk about, start talking.
I have no answers on Mike Williams. I thought this kid was a star from the day he came into this league. And for whatever reason, the Keenan and Hunter being there, him just being a deep threat, Anthony Lynn, the coach, I don't know. Something has not switched on. Now, I do think this quarterback can help, but this quarterback to me kind of equates to a Josh Allen. A little bumpy.
In what way?
Athletic. Very strong arm. Also,
and not likely also, to not. And I would say more so than Allen, a little bit more NFL ready. And not the same, not a guy that's going to tuck the ball under his hand and take off.
I didn't think Josh Allen was that, though, either, when he came into the league. And
I think everybody else did. He was the Wyoming whip. Everybody questioned, you know, that I don't think we've seen a player that has improved more at the quarterback position, Josh Allen, since maybe Terry Bradshaw. Josh Allen's gotten better and better and better.
He was very raw coming out of Wyoming, but you loved his arm, the strength. And Herbert has been erratic, kind of like that's what everybody worried about Josh Allen. Even this year, he's had that one.
I think you're missing it, Fetch, but we may have to agree to disagree.
He's had a great game against Kansas City.
He also came. They tapped him on the shoulder and said, "You're going to play today." In his first game, when they sit down Taylor, and he threw for 300 yards with about 45
and
minutes
then came
preparation.
Back next week, he threw a dud against Carolina. Now, to his credit,
well, you know, Carolina's tough. We've talked about that. All right, let's go to something we can agree about. Let's go to something we can agree about and something we can be happy about.
Okay, go ahead.
Carolina Panthers. Have Atlanta this week. You have to be thrilled if you picked up Robbie Anderson in a draft. And I got him in almost every draft because when it came around to the 15th round, I couldn't find anyone else that I wanted. And so that's who I took. And he's paid significant dividends. But what you and I have to be thrilled about for all of football, for a great comeback story, and he's being very, very quietly successful, is the emergence of Teddy Bridgewater. Now, Teddy Bridgewater is flirted with 30 fantasy points. He might have even got there this past weekend. I think Teddy Bridgewater has a big game against Atlanta. What do you think?
I believe so. I mean, that secondary we saw on Monday night, they were playing linebackers at safety in some instances because they were just so depleted. Mm-hmm. So I do think this is a chance for Teddy to continue to show what a professional quarterback he is. And I think
you can get him for a dollar. You can get him for a dollar. You can go out there and get him for a dollar.
I picked him up Wednesday.
You just spend $2
for a dollar. This is
I don't want you overpaying,
when you think about Mike Davis, who had been given up on. Robbie Anderson, not necessarily given up on, but look at the train.
Yeah, giving up on when the Jets don't want you. When the Jets don't want you,
Teddy,
you give it up.
So I mean, that's three main cogs of their offense that other people didn't want.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for me to put it in my brain after last year that Carolina is a good football team. It's one of those things that
You know, if this story was happening anywhere else but Carolina. Yeah. It would be the football darling show, you know. If it was Buffalo, the long suffering Buffalo, same with Cleveland, long suffering Cleveland. There's not an outpost as remote as Charlotte.
And none of these guys, even though they're comeback stories, they're not OBJ. Flash is not there.
Yeah.
That's why nobody's really talking about. And they're doing it without their best player in Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, and I like to get behind a team that doesn't have any flash because McCaffrey is just fabulous without any flash. You know, he scores his touchdown, hands the ball to the official. Yeah, says I'm ready to work on my next.
He He was asked what Carolina is, and he said, pardon my language, we're a tough-ass football team.
Teddy apologizes for using the word ass. You know, and you know, when you apologize to sports writers for using the word ass, that's pretty hilarious right there. But hey, can you imagine the juxtaposition of post-game news conferences with Cam Newton and now Teddy Bridgewater? And how different.
And their way they dress, let alone the way they talk.
Teddy's got a sweet wardrobe. I'll tell you that. Teddy knows how to dress. Okay, Fetch. Is there one more? Can you think of one more guy? One more guy that you drafted that's done nothing that still may
dropped, so I'm thinking about picking him up. Hayden Hurst. I still think Hayden Hurst.
Oh my gosh.
Could happen.
I do too. Hayden Hurst got dropped.
Saw it to the ass. Yeah.
Crazy. And the FFPC Drew Brees got dropped. And I immediately overpaid for him, but I wanted to have a backup quarterback. All right, let's take a little conversation. The reason I wanted to have a backup quarterback is, hey, I may wake up and my quarterback is tested positive. Might have done a Cam Newton. So let me ask you something about this. Let's talk about roster construction. Not so much today, because everyone's putting it together in their best mindset today as to what they're going to try to accomplish and how they're going to battle this COVID situation. Talk to me as we move towards the playoffs. What does roster construction look like? Are you going to get to week 10 and there's just not going to be any quarterbacks left? You know, right now there's no running backs that you can figure out how to play. Are you going to get over there and go, well, did I take a backup quarterback? You know, what do
you
I
You know, in Kansas no. City, I don't think it's a bad idea to roster Chad Henne if I have Patrick Mahomes, because I want that's better than some of the options, whether it be a Kyle Allen in Washington or, you know, something like
Smart.
That. The biggest change I'm going to make, maybe I shouldn't let this cat out of the bag, but I used to, because defense was so important in our league, I used to load up my defenses to have two or three for the playoffs and set up the matchups. I think the roster, having the extra kicker, quarterback, backup receiver, it's going to be much more important this year. So that's how I'm going to load up on it. And I'm going to try to stay away from those week 13 bye guys who could hurt my roster in week 13 when we can't pick anybody up and they're on bye.
You know, I see what you're saying there. I talked to an owner the other day that he just had too many complaints, and I could not bring him. I couldn't get him any satisfaction in any of my answers. And I finally told him, you know, he told me, he said, I don't want to handle a second defense, and I don't want a backup quarterback, and I don't want two kickers. And I said, well, you know, if the 17th, 16th, and 15th player on your roster are so precious to you that you can't let them go, then you must have one hell of a great team. You must have won the thing anyway. You must be so far ahead that it's not going to be a problem. And, you know, I think sometimes we begin to value our roster and what we foresee in players a little too much, you know. So we can construct a roster out of need, and that's what we're doing. We need to make it a little easier on us and put a roster together that gives us some fluctuation. And you know, in our league, KFFSC, we still must start three wide receivers. So keep that in mind. You know, it's an enjoyable thing in the FFPC to have a dual flex, and if you've got a variety of tight ends that are all playing well, that covers a lot of ills. You can just plug them in and go, you know, and you don't have that luxury here. You've got to start your free receivers then have your running back and flex spot.
I will say this. I think you expanding the free agency to Saturday will help some of the headaches of owners, because there's nothing more frustrating than Friday night and you're still here. Davante Adams may play, Julio Jones may play, and you have two or three of these guys and you're going through, do I have enough guys to fill these spots? If this guy, if it all goes the wrong way, you know, that guy who has the glass half empty is like, all my guys are questionable, so they're not going to play. And he's thinking, oh my gosh, I got to have this guy, this guy, this guy. So I,
exactly. You really need, you know, because I'm curious. I'm going to look tomorrow. I'm curious how many people fell for the fact that Leonard Fournette is playing. You know, Leonard Fournette is active. And so, you know, did people say, oh, he's active, I'm going to put him in the lineup? You've got to go deeper than that. You've got to see – why he's active, and is he an emergency guy? What is he? You know, we're sitting here with a player that I can't wait to get back, and that's Raheem Mostert. And this is a player that if he comes back this week, they told us from very early on he'd be back in week 6. And now they talk about him in possibility of week 5. If he comes back for week 5, I'll be tempted to play him, but I probably won't.
It's all about what other options you have. And speaking of San Francisco, has there been a more pleasant surprise and better comeback story than Jerick McKinnon?
No, and good for him. He's had a tough and career and has hung with him.
Very good.
And I'm
looked very fresh,
proud of him.
Looked very athletic. I mean, could do a lot of things. That's a system where they plug and play all kinds of running backs and everything else. And Kyle Shanahan didn't want to take him off the field, which is very unusual for San Francisco.
Isn't it the truth? And let's talk about Jimmy Garoppolo. Let's stay in San Francisco. You have updates on Garoppolo playing this weekend. You know, that really – you talk about your Debo Samuel and everyone else involved.
Kittle came back with a flurry last week.
It is. Oh, my goodness. Kittle, you got to love watching him play football. It's just such a significant quality that he brings to the position. I last year, Fenton and I got together, Drew and Josh Maselli, out in Arizona on Halloween night, and we saw a Thursday night game. And Kittle got banged up in that game. He took two plays off. He came back, and he was hurting. And he didn't do that much as a pass catcher. But, man, was he blocking. And man, is he making an effort. He's just a thrill to watch play football. And it was a thrill to watch catch, 15 balls?
And we needed 14 to catch 15. One more two-point conversion, but I'm not going to dwell on that.
Oh, brother, I tell you what, we could talk football all night long. I've missed you. You know, people that people don't know that we talk a little football just about every day, Fetch and I do. It's been a challenge getting our schedules together to have podcasts, but as we move through this year, we're going to reach out and find different ways to communicate through the podcast portal here and bring more information to you, because it's the best way to do it. And that with mailers, you see anything in the mailer update that you wanted to talk about? It's a lot of good play in the ancillary leagues. How are your teams in the special spring leagues doing? The run to daylight, checker flag, fetch. You have any success?
Really interesting. That's the thing with the spring leagues. You end up with very interesting teams, because it's not the same ADP as we had in August. I mean, it's totally different. So you just have an interesting mix. I have a team with Kittle and Hill, which I don't have Kelsey and Hill, and just some other interesting things. Gallup and Cooper, and just some other things I did back then that some are working, some aren't, but I'm interested to see how this season in those leagues ends up.
Let's talk about starters for the weekend. Anybody that is a top of the line player that you might, well, let's put it this way. Who is your bust player for this week? And who is your sleeper
guy
player
that we have to really think about setting? Cause mentally he just seems out of it. And this is crazy to say, but Julian Edelman, I don't know what's going on with him in New England. He had that great game against Seattle, but I mean, it looked like he just wasn't in the game this past week at Kansas City, and they were in that game. He makes a couple plays for him. Maybe they win it. Now, obviously, the quarterback had something to do with that, but I mean, he just dropped a pass that turned into a pick six and, you know, just didn't look like his normal self. I don't know if it's frustration with Brady not being there or what. So that's
a strong bust fetch, and I'm proud of you for coming up with it. I think it took a lot of guts. The only thing it takes more of is just imperfect understanding of the situation. I cannot believe that you picked Edelman as your bust. I think Edelman has a great game this weekend. With a quarterback, the young guy is going to get the chance, right?
Yes.
Boy, it was rough watching Hoyer play quarterback. You know, he said, what was that issue? He forgot
He forgot timeouts. He thought he had one. Yes.
He forgot timeouts. Yes. Yeah, vital knowledge that you needed, especially in that situation. He said he had a brain freeze. Now, here's a guy that's been waiting 10 years to start an NFL game, and his brain is frozen. You know, this is not the right kind of thing.
I thought you were going to just say, let's go with Devontae Freeman. Let's go with Devontae Freeman as my sleeper this week.
Devontae Freeman is your sleeper. I've already given you that one. Let's try something new. Let's try something for the, you know, people that have listened to this the whole way. They want something fetch. Come on. Malcolm Brown. And Malcolm Brown is so that gives you two busts in the sleeper. He's your sleeper. Malcolm Brown, I think, is closer. Why now? Okay, Malcolm Brown is a sleeper. While I'm surprised that you didn't say Darrell Henderson would be a bust
last week.
So you possibly could have a bust and a sleeper out of the same backfield. Because I know you're thinking, but tell us why we should invest in Malcolm Brown in the usage lineup this week.
He is used more in this type of game when they go more conservative, a team that they don't have to score a lot of points. They're going to let the defense do it. He's going to be in the goal lines, which maybe he gets you that touchdown and everything else. Darrell Henderson is going to be in games like the Buffalo game where they get down 20 points and they're going to spread it out and throw the ball a bunch. And this L.A. Rams backfield, I don't have much shares in it, and I'm glad because it would be a nightmare to decide week to week what you're going to do.
Fetch, that's very good. That's very good.
And for some reason, Cam Akers is considered a free agent because he's not signed. I don't know. That's another that's a weird –
What are you talking about, Cam Akers? It's considered. Have you had too much Heineken?
I sent you
German beer is not good for fetch. What are you doing?
That says every player has their name with their who their next opponent says what team they're on, and it says Cam Akers is a free agent. You need to talk to the FFPC guys. I'm sure they're the ones that have done it, but not that I'm at Wisconsin. We love you way up north there, great guys, but it's just a weird glitch.
Well, Fetch has gone off the rails. When something on the website does not function properly, we don't talk to the FFPC. We talk to the developers, right, which share the platform with the FFPC. Now, our developers will tell you that is a glitch that comes from the NFL, from the statisticians that are provided. And, you know, it's just you know, don't be like Fetch, worried about Cam Akers being identified as a free agent, folks. You'll be able to sleep after hearing this. I don't want to upset anybody. But, yeah, okay, Cam Akers could be in our situation, Fetch. He could be one of our players we're talking about. Has done nothing, was drafted relatively high.
It's a nightmare in that backfield. He's going to have a week or two good, but I don't know if I can predict it.
Well, hell, maybe he should be a free agent then. Hey, Fetch, let's see. Is there anything else we're forgetting? We've got a quarterback change with the Washington Redskins. It looks like the quarterback has gone from a starter.
I think this is the biggest thing to third bring up string. About the situation. And we talked about this earlier today. Terry McLaurin has produced no matter who's played quarterback there. And I think people need to keep that in mind. And hopefully the young kid, Antonio Gibson, continues his progression where it looks like he could be a very, very good NFL running back.
Very good-looking player. Makes everyone understand why Adrian Peterson is now in Detroit. He had to clear space for touches for this kid. Hey, the McLaurin there as a wide receiver. Who else, Fetch, have you got rostered? It's Gibson. It's McLaurin. What else is going on?
We got the tight end Logan Thomas as a backup tight end.
Yeah.
I have Dontrell Inman in a couple lineups. Now, not lineups, teams. I did play him once because of all the changing and buys and everything. I don't know if I'll do that going forward. I want to see – he's the type of player you need to find out if he's going to have a real connection with the new quarterback. He seemed to have that with Dwayne Haskins. He's produced Inman in many places, whether it be the Chargers or the Colts a couple of years ago. He's a professional receiver, but we got Sims coming back. We got the young – and Golden Gibson, if I say the hyphenated – right.
Yeah. Go Gandy. Yeah. There's a whole lot of names going on there. I love so players Inman's with hyphenated names.
A guy represent a couple of them.
You gotta.
I may
always
be dropping him in a week or two if he did have the 2-touchdown game 2 weeks ago, and he's had 4 to 5 targets a game. But with the new quarterback, that may change.
Oh, I beg everyone. If a player gets moved up to starting position and you've got holes in your roster, acquire him for a buck or two. If he hits, you look like a genius. If he doesn't, go acquire another guy for a buck or two. You know, and don't wait. Don't wait until he breaks out. Now, I've got one very, very good breakout sleeper. It's the wide receiver, Guyton, from the Los Angeles Chargers, another one of those great Charger receivers. They are all over Fetch. The Chargers.
Traquan Smith is a great example of that. You should have got him a week or two ago, and now he's producing. Yep.
You know, a guy that you should have got, that everybody should have got. I don't have him anywhere. Is our running back Robinson from the Jacksonville Jags? And you know, you talk about the developers and the website. Back when we started our spring leagues, before we even started the contest, when we were having the classic spring leagues, a big Valentine's, March Madness, all of that. The fellas from professional fantasy football players from the home office called in, FBI, Petrie and Larson. They call in and they want to know one thing. Where is James Robinson? They want him. They want to draft this player. As a rookie out of Illinois State, and you know, FBI wanted to draft him before the NFL draft. No one in the NFL wanted to draft him. That's why you know you find it very, very frustrating as a sports agent because you walk around representing a player like that, and no one wants to draft him. And Fetch, he's what, rookie of the year, and he's the most important find.
Oh, I definitely
in fantasy
so. The
football.
That got
you
him
say
late
so?
In the 18th, 19th round, and the few people that. In the spring leagues where he was a free agent and had to spend some money on him, he's returned a great investment on for you.
I took CD Lamb in Las Vegas in the 9th round out of the 8th position. thinking Robinson would get back to me, and the guy in the 12 spot, he was the only one sitting at the table smart enough to get him. He had four or five running backs already, and I thought he would pass, and he did not. And that guy's enjoying quite a lot of season. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we sign off?
It's a late night. We saw a great football game, but I'm getting tired.
It's a very, very late night for Fetch and I. But Fetch, you've done a really good job of getting me ready. We're going to have many more podcasts. We're going to ask the listeners to join in. We're going to have some one-on-ones with the commish. If you just can't get enough of this stuff, and you are a real glutton for punishment, you can join me live on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Show with Eric Balkman. I have been tapped as the replacement for the irreplaceable Dave Gerzak. So you talk about a thankless job. I'm feeling, you know, I'm following Babe Ruth and Joe Namath, and I'm the heavyweight champion after Ali retired. You know, it's the most difficult position that you possibly have. But we did our first show last week, and we had a really, really good time with it. We had some guests that were good fantasy players, guys from California that are doing very, very well in the FFPC. And this was their first time in the league. It reminds me of some of our first-time guys that are enjoying some success in the league. And we'll talk more about that as we get together next week. Fetch, it looks like we might get in a trend podcast here, some Thursday night post-game podcast. And so we'll be staying up very, very late. Thank you for joining me. Give my regards to all the girls at home. Tell them to keep playing sports and keep doing well. And everyone in the KFFSC, we wish you well.
Shout out, Stacy Perez.
Who you want to shout out to? I'm saying goodnight to everybody, and you're sitting over here screaming, shout out.
I mean, just all the guys out there that listen and play.
Oh, hey, let's say something about Stacy. Stacy has two teams in the top 33. I think she's got number 30 and number 33 before tonight. And that's pretty impressive. That puts her with two teams in the top, 6-7%? That's all right.
Dynasty Keeper League and has put it up at the top. She's right a game behind me. I'm the only undefeated team. She's 3-1 and a top three or four score in that. So, yes, she's had a good year.
Good for Stacy. Stacy's working it. Well, she's been around it a lot. She's helped a lot. She's watched a lot. And she's a pretty smart cookie. So, you know, she'll figure out what to do. And no matter where you stand in this thing, there's still a lot of time for you to figure out what to do. There's going to be lots and lots of variations in scoring this year. Go get you a 200-point week if you're feeling low and feeling down. You'll get right back into this thing. Okay, now while I'm signing off this time, have you got any more shout outs? You want to send Richard something Bates to your frenemy Jim Cole? You want to say something about Bobby Butterfield? You got any
this year? Bobby, great. Bobby Sangerman, hope everything's going well there in Pennsylvania.
We don't want Rich to throw. We want Rich to throw a party for a Sunday night game, but we don't know why it to be for the Eagles, because the Eagles are losing at halftime. He goes in the men's room and tears up for a while. We don't want that. We don't want to lose our host to all that. You know, that wouldn't be a good thing. Well, listen, if you've listened to this entire show, you're probably tearing up yourself. Thank you very much. I'm going to have one more bourbon, and that's not even a nightcap fetch. That's like an early morning cap. So, you know, we're going to call that quits. And we'll be back with you soon. Thanks for coming in, buddy.